Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides. First pitch is at 5:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Chiba Hut Toasted Subs at 329 Donaldson Pike. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com, ahead of the Titans season opener on Sunday afternoon against the Denver Broncos. PK, yesterday we discussed what we would deem a successful NFL debut for Cam Ward on Sunday. What will you be looking for from him to determine whether his first start can be considered a success?
Well, for starters, don't be the reason they lose. I think that's a simple baseline. That's the problem that they had with his predecessor. Don't be the reason they lose. And then help them compete. This is a bad matchup, obviously. They're going to have a lot of those during the year because they're not that talented in comparison to the better teams in the league. But help them compete. Help them stay in a game for as long as they can. And minimize mistakes, find some plays, score some points.
A lot of eyes are on Brian Callahan as he enters season two. Along similar lines to the question about Ward, which areas of improvement will you be watching most closely with Callahan as you evaluate his performance over the season?
Well, I wrote this week, you know, I think it's a no-brainer for Denver or for anybody to try to take away Calvin Ridley. I mean, the best thing you've seen about the Titans in the preseason is Cam Ward to Calvin Ridley. There's clearly some chemistry there, and Ridley's taking it up a notch. I think he still might be prone to some mental errors on his own, but I don't think his problems, if he has any, are going to be quarterback-related. So if Denver puts Surtain on him, or if Denver chooses to go the route where they double the best receiver and look to put Surtain on whoever they consider second most dangerous, Callahan has said, you know, it's my job to still find a way to get Calvin involved and to get Calvin the ball. I like the sound of that. I like an offensive coordinator / head coach who's saying those kind of things, and I think he said he's taking it as a challenge. I want to see how he answers that challenge and how he makes things like that happen. And so that'll be a little bit of a defining move for me, seeing how Callahan makes that happen. And then, you know, I think we're all excited about these secondary receivers and everything because we've been so focused on them throughout the offseason. But maybe we've elevated them too much because we're comparing them to what the Titans have had previously instead of comparing them to what twos, threes, and fours look like around the league. And so, you know, what can the Titans make out of those guys is a big question.
We're talking with Paul Kaharsky. You can check him out at PaulKaharsky.com. Now, Paul, the insertion of Iyo Manor as the starter. Do you think that was more so because of the physicality that he brings and Vance Jefferson just doesn't bring that physicality? Because if you're looking at the preseason, I don't think one separated themselves from the other as far as who should be the starter. But from what the Titans have been talking about, having that more physical receiver as the X receiver, they feel more comfortable with.
Well, you know this, Mace. This team generally, historically, has brought guys along slowly. So I like that they're not doing that here, but I hope, you know, the outside expectations aren't too high. You know, he had a really tough day in Atlanta where they kind of beat him up. This is in the first practice in Atlanta where you thought he would have answered the physical tone of what A.J. Terrell and the rest of those guys were doing to him, and he didn't. Responded reasonably well. But he admits he's a guy that needs to kind of get himself to a place where he can be up for things. I would imagine he's not going to have a problem doing that for his first NFL start. But I like the idea of him getting more snaps than Jefferson and Jefferson being more of a veteran security blanket who's there if you need him but isn't going to get the lion's share of the snaps at that position. you know, and then Iron Manor needs to take advantage of the opportunities they're giving to him, like all the young guys on this team. But, you know, I think people who are rushing to start him in their fantasy league are thinking that he's going to be a 100-yard guy on game one, or maybe overly optimistic and should let themselves be surprised if he does something big instead of counting on it. You know, it'd be a nice surprise if he does. But I think beyond Ridley, you know, it's probably going to be very committee-like distribution of targets and receptions.
Now, Legarius Sneed hadn't practiced much this week, and doubtful if he plays this weekend. Is this going to be what we continue to see from Legarius Sneed? And if so, you know, these young guys that are playing in place of him, do you feel they need to make a statement this game? Because you can't go into every week hoping and praying that your number one guy at corner plays.
Yeah, he's technically questionable, not doubtful.
Okay.
So, you know, I think they're fully expecting him to be out there starting. Now, I think most of us wonder, what will he finish? You know, and I think we don't know. We don't know. We haven't seen him. He didn't play in any of the games. He didn't really practice to any major extent doing teamwork that we got to see, at any rate. You know, he's talking and they're talking like he's the guy that they traded for. And we're about to find out. And if he's not, you know, then the depth is tested. Daryl Baker doesn't look like the same guy he was at the end of the season, or through the season last year, when I thought he did a pretty good job of stepping in. So maybe Marcus Harris, the rookie, passes him. But you'd sure like everybody, Mace, to be in the slot where they're supposed to be, which would put Sneed at number one and Brownlee at number two, and then those other guys on the perimeter, you know, as depth guys who maybe get a couple snaps, but not any kind of feature snaps. If Sneed's out and Brownlee's one and then Baker or Harris are two, you're not as good as you need to be. And that's why Sneed is such a mystery and such a concern. But he's talking the talk. So we just need to see if the walk can match it. And I don't think anybody can tell you. I don't even know if they know, you know. So we'll see. But when they traded for him, they said, hey, he's not going to be a big practice guy. He's going to be a guy that we get ready to go on Sunday. So they're right back at the point now where they were when they traded for him. And now we'll begin to find out.
We're talking to Paul Kuharsky, breaking down the matchup with the Broncos coming up this weekend. And, Paul, you used the term, don't be the reason you lose. There's no question that Will Levis was fighting with that tag on certain weeks with the special teams. We're the reason you lost. No. Will's the reason we lost. No, you could debate it a few weeks. They overhauled everything in the special teams, basically, except the long snapper. What's your reasonable expectation on how much they could improve overall in that area?
Well, look, the last two special teams coaches were not good. I mean, Mike Vrabel would have fought you to the death for Craig Aukerman for whatever reason, but he was in there explaining disasters on a regular basis. And Colt Anderson last year, really, I mean, at one point he said, I thought they knew what to do. Which is, it's not what you want to hear from a coach who's supposed to teach them what to do. So I think a lot of the upgraded confidence is John Fossil, who has been a successful special teams coach in the league. And I think we're all banking on he's got a better understanding of what these guys need to do and how to convey to them what to do. Now, they've handpicked Sly and Hecker to do it in terms of the legs. I think maybe there's a less good leg in the leg department and maybe an upgrade in the coverage and teams departments. But we'll see. Once again, they don't have a reliable, proven punt returner, and they've got a rookie back there. And just doesn't seem that hard to me to get a guy who can field punts and get you 10 yards. But maybe I'm naive to what that's become in the league. I haven't taken a
close
look.
Paul, we've watched meltdowns by rookies in particular. And so were you curious as to, or were you surprised at all, the faith they're showing in Jim DK in week one? Because I think we all were penciling in the veteran, Prochet, to start in that spot.
I think maybe Spears going down screws up like the insurance policy there, and that Spears is the quote-unquote veteran that you could put back there. Prochet just screws up the wide receiver numbers too much. So if you put Prochet back there, then you've got to deactivate DK from the offense. So let's watch how many snaps DK gets on offense and if that's worth the quote-unquote trade-off. But he's got to start mistake-free, kind of what we're talking about with Ward. Don't be the reason you lose the game. If they lose the game because of, if it's a big contributing factor that they make big special teams errors in the return game, I mean, it's going to be a beating your head against the wall situation. So we'll see what kind of metal the kid's got. But again, then I've got a huge objection to this thing where they were playing some kind of seniority game and giving snaps to Jaquan Jackson, who never had a chance to make this team, and letting him field punts in the preseason, which was ridiculous.
Paul, looking at Bo Nix, a lot of the numbers, it's a really intriguing matchup to see if Denard Wilson's defense can take a step forward. I've heard him repeatedly talk about how he feels like he's going to be better in his second year. He's on a better same page and understanding with his assistants. They made, not sexy pickups, but they feel like they've got better people to fit what they're doing. And they're facing a quarterback in Bo Nix that was way, way more effective when he was not put under pressure. When he was not behind in games, he carved up bad defenses. He was way better when it wasn't obvious pass situation. So I'm really looking to see if they can make progress and create more obvious passing situations where Nix, maybe could be exploited.
I don't know, man. I just feel like I think the Titans should be better against the run. I mean, they're certainly better on the edge, right, with Draymond Jones. You would think he can play better on the edge. Femi Oladejo hasn't shown us much as a pass rusher, but he should be better on the edge. I think they're sounder as a run defense. But this idea that you want to force a team to pass against you just scares me to death for the Titans. You get them into second and eight so that they'll throw, and I don't have any faith in their ability to rush the passer, and I don't know if it's the greatest scenario in the world. I'm not saying you want them to be able to run, but I'd rather cat and mouse with them to toy with them to get them to try to run against you a little bit more than to think that you're going to be able to rush. And you're going to have to bring numbers to rush, and then I don't know how reliable, especially if Snead's not Snead, you're going to be in coverage. I like the safeties a lot, but that corner depth is questionable.
Agreed. Are you worried about Sweat? They mentioned he's lost weight. I don't know how much detail you got beyond what they said at the press conference, Paul, but, missing that much time, I would have to worry about his ability or availability for more than a few snaps, I would think, early.
Yeah, I think it's really one of the biggest underplayed storylines by all of us. I mean, when guys miss significant chunks of camp, it almost always bites them in the butt. And he missed a big chunk of camp between he had the abs early, missed the first 3 days of training camp with an ab problem, and then the tonsillectomy hit him for a good while and cost him the better part of 2 weeks. That's a lot of time, especially for a big man. And now he's gone to altitude, and I wouldn't be surprised to see his snaps down and to see Shy Tuttle and James Lynch and some of the other backup linemen be called on a lot here. And hopefully it doesn't have a big bearing on his season. But if we look back late in the season and say, boy, Tavondre Sweat missing a big chunk of camp really set him back, I won't be surprised by that storyline, and I'd hate if that's the case. But it's often the case.
Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Yes, Paul?
Real quick, I just want to tell Will, I came out of that memorial service for Aaron, and I've thought about it every day since, just telling myself, I haven't done it yet, but I think it's significant that I'm telling myself, I need to live a bigger life. I thought that was just a tremendous hour and very impactful, and it's really stuck with me, and I wanted to tell you that.
Well, thank you for saying that, Paul. It was beyond what we knew it was going to be good, but it just we were thrilled with the reaction of everybody. It was awesome. And you're not the first person that has complimented the overall program. It was awesome, but she deserved it.
Absolutely. Thank you for the time, Paul. We look forward to your coverage this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Paul Gaharsky of PaulGaharsky.com on the program. You, of course, can catch him every week in the mornings with Robbie and Rex Road. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Paul had to say. You can as well at 615-737-1025. We are live at Chiba Hut Toasted Subs at 329 Donaldson Pike ahead of Chiba Hut's Jeep Glow Party tonight from 8 to 11 o'clock. Come on out. Live music, drink specials, free raffles, trophies for the best glowed out Jeeps, and all the good vibes at Chiba Hut located at 329 Donaldson Pike in Nashville. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.